This is The Beat, a podcast series that keeps you in the know about the latest community policing topics facing our nation.
Hello, my name is Pradeen St. Fort, and I'm a program associate in the Center on Immigration and Justice at the Vera Institute of Justice. In 2010, the Vera Institute and the COPS Office partnered to produce a guide for law enforcement agencies looking to either begin or to enhance their work with immigrant communities. The guide is a national report titled Engaging Police in Immigrant Communities, Promising Practices from the Field. This report profiles promising practices from 10 policing agencies from across the country. This podcast is a part of a series of recordings that will accompany this report. Each podcast is in Q&A format and provides practical advice from agency personnel who have been involved in the promising practices we feature in our report. In this podcast, we are joined by Robin Martinson, a community liaison with the Brooklyn Park Police Department in Minnesota. Robin's here to share some practical tips when doing outreach to multicultural communities. Thanks for joining us, Robin.
Oh, it's good to be here.
Let's start by giving the audience a sense of Brooklyn Park's community. Could you please describe the communities living in your city?
Well, Brooklyn Park has a very culturally diverse population. Nearly 48% of our residents are people of color, and roughly 20% of the population is foreign-born. Our city has one of the largest Liberian populations outside of Liberia, and we have a fairly large Southeast Asian and Hispanic Latino population.
Thank you. That gives our audience a good general sense of some of the city's immigrant populations. So when you started your position, your community liaison position, how did you begin meeting members of these communities?
Well, I went everywhere, and I started out visiting established immigrant organizations. But I also went and visited with ministers and pastors and visited their churches or places of worship. I went to apartment complex and talked with managers there. So a lot of different community-based organizations. And I found these places online or sometimes through ethnic newspapers that I'd get from the local library. And I'd contact the organization. I'd let them know my role was to, you know, build the connection between the department and the community. And that's how I met, you know, many of the community leaders. But as I contacted them, I'd also make an effort to attend, you know, local ethnic events to meet people who, you know, weren't leaders, but are members of the community. I wanted to go where people were. And I know by going where they were having a celebration, where they were feeling comfortable and they gathered, it would be a lot easier. And I also went to a lot of ethnic stores and introduced myself to shop owners. And while there, I'd look at bulletin boards and see, like, what events were coming up and look at those that I might want to attend. I also made relationships with English as a second language teachers because a large portion of the immigrant community went to those language classes to learn English. When I was just starting out, I'd go to those classes and just visit and merely introduce myself, and then that turned into doing Q&A sessions, and I'd bring officers with. And I also developed a relationship with the different refugee resettlement agencies and oftentimes did new arrival classes. And that was another great connection.
Great. Wow. You were quite busy. So you've been in that position now for about 7 years or so. What are some of the practical things that you've learned that have helped some of your events be successful?
Well, personal relationships and follow-up are so important, especially when you first start your outreach efforts. And I really can't stress that enough. For our communities, I learned that people are not going to come to your event if they don't know who you are or what the event is about. So it's all about that personal invitation is best. And you have to develop those relationships and also maintain the relationships. So for an example, after I meet a minister or a pastor and develop that initial relationship, I'll actually go and attend the church service. And then I'm introduced while I'm at the service. And so the congregation knows who I am. And afterwards, if I have an event that I'm planning and I want to invite people, I'll return to the church and make an announcement. And I also will, you know, place announcements in ethnic papers or go to ethnic radio stations. I find that if you're going to send out an email announcing an event, it's usually best not to send out a mass mailing. That emails really should be personal, so I usually, it takes a little bit more time, but you send it, put a personal greeting, asking how that person is, and then kind of move into the topic. And I've learned this over time, and I'm still learning, so for some of our community, you know, just a phone call works best, just to spread the word about an event.
That's really helpful for our audience to hear, and you've drived home the fact that it's important to learn how to reach out to your communities. So what are some of the other kind of really practical, hands-on things that you do to make your event successful?
Well, there's a couple of things. One thing is I try to make sure that I bring community members to the table during the early stages of planning an event. Mm-hmm. And usually people are really eager to help out and help plan it. And it also helps us stay on top of any cultural considerations that we might miss. Also at an event, then it's really important to give the necessary credit and acknowledgement to those community members who have helped out. And it's a real important sign of respect and gratitude. I've also found that it's useful to give practical door prizes at community events. Mm-hmm. And this is something we've done, like giving a bag of rice or maybe some cleaning supplies or gift cards. And initially when people were suggesting that, mm-hmm. it was a little bit different. But what we found out is that people love to get things that they could use. And they didn't care no matter how small it was. It was just appreciated that they got something. So it's kind of like finding out what your community would like to use, and then we realize how much they really appreciate it. Also, I do my best to provide food at our events, and mm-hmm. I've learned that having food at the events is very important, and I'd say it's even mandatory. And especially if you can get cultural foods from a local restaurant, that's even better. You know, it's a great form of hospitality that many of our communities respond well to and really appreciate. So I make sure I try to do my best to provide it. And then I also learned to expect that certain events are not going to start on time. So plan accordingly.
That's really useful and helpful. Are there any events that you would highlight as being some of your most successful, that where you use some of these practical things?
Well, one of the things that's probably been one of our most successful things is we do what we call a New Americans Academy, and it's a class that runs for 6 weeks. And it's similar to a lot of police departments do a Citizens Academy, so they can learn more about the police. This is geared a little bit more for people who are newer to this country. So we spend a lot of time so that people can have a chance to ask questions of the police, but also learn a lot of things about a lot of the laws and rules and regulations and city codes and ordinances, because what we find is that we have so many mm-hmm. in our country. So it's a chance. We leave a lot of time for people to ask different questions of whoever our speakers are. And so that's been really, really popular. And usually the word gets out from people who have attended, invite others to attend.
How did you learn these things? Like, how did you learn to bring rice and all of these things and develop something like the New Americans Academy and other events?
Well, believe me, when I started, I barely knew the boundaries of Brooklyn Park, let alone I didn't know anyone in the Liberian community. But it's been over time that of the people that I've met that have taught me these things. And, you know, when I go to, you know, community organized cultural events, you know, I'd introduce myself. I ask questions. I ask a lot of questions. And I also listened a lot. You know, I was really committed to learning about all the cultures that live in Brooklyn Park. The learning process is similar to my, initial outreach efforts. And, you know, I sign up for, you know, different various cultural listservs. So I get information about events so that I can attend those events.
So after you've cultivated very strong relationships, how do you keep people interested and motivated to be involved?
Well, you know, once you develop relationships and trust, you get to a place where you can just ask people and they're willing to come out. The thing is that I can't stress the part about relationships enough, because it's important to establish relationships, but it also, you know, maintain those. And those relationships really have to be genuine. Mm-hmm. And so once people trust you, they're willing to come out, they're willing to be a part of things. So a lot of times this gives us an opportunity for immigrants and refugees to come out and share their stories, either with members of our agency or the city, but also with other members of the community. And when people trust you, they're more honest about other needs, and you can address them. You know, for example, you have to be really mindful about arranging, you know, people need transportation, or they might mm-hmm. need daycare if they want to attend or volunteer for an event. So it's being mindful of those things. And people also get more involved when they understand how that participation benefits their community. So again, all of this takes time.
What advice would you give to community liaisons who are just starting out?
Well, I'd say, you know, make frequent, you know, visits with community members. And like I said, you know, listening, you know, developing, you know, those genuine, authentic relationships. Another thing I do a lot is I offer a lot of different resources. I keep my eyes open to what's going on. And so when I meet somebody and I know of a resource, I make that available to them. I don't assume things. I ask a lot of questions. So that'd be kind of my first list of advice I'd give. But I think it's really, really important to know the cultural history and background of the communities that you serve, and that information only helps you. And oftentimes this is, you know, it's a lot of work, it's fun mm-hmm. work, but it's a lot of nights and weekends because you got to be available when people are available. Mm-hmm. So you have to be flexible about your time. And also that I mentioned about the concept of time is that it's a little bit different than ours. So you have to learn to adjust. Mm-hmm. I always tell people, start small, mm-hmm. try something, take a baby step, but then build on those experiences, you know, and try new things, be creative, you know, and don't be afraid to fail. Because sometimes I've done some things and it works and sometimes it doesn't, but we learn from that. It's a process. And then after a while, you become known in the community, and believe me, people start to seek you out. They know you. So that's kind of fun.
Oh. So any advice for working with the officers in the department?
Well, one of the things is I got to know the officers first, because working with police officers, because again, I'm a civilian, you know, mm-hmm. a police department's a different culture itself. So I got to know the officers. But as I got to know the community members, I'd like to offer trainings to the police officers and sometimes even the city staff so that they could learn to understand the cultures better of the people that they served. And sometimes I'd have different experiences that I would have, and I'd like to take those back to the police department. So it would be, you know, the things that I've learned about other people's cultures. So it just helps the officers and others in the agency to, you know, improve the services for those communities. Cause not just the police, but our city, you know, provide services for our communities. So I always, you know, try to be willing to go beyond what my role is, and, you know, the community at large will be better for it.
Thank you, Robin. That's a very, very strong message, and I'm sure our audience appreciates it.
My pleasure.
The Beat was brought to you by the United States Department of Justice Cops Office. The Cops Office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems.